fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here one more day with my good friend Chuck Greenwood. He's been really leading us in a conversation together this week about how to enter into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, how to receive God's mercy. Really, the intention this week for us has been to reach out to those men and women who listen to the program, who just feel, you look at your life and you're just trapped in serious habit patterns of sin, and you're losing hope, you're losing confidence, you're isolated, you're in discouragement and despair even. And we're at the end of the year of mercy here, certainly not the end of God's mercy, but this is a year of mercy that's just filled with tremendous grace. And we want to just encourage you to be able to open your heart to God's grace. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. These programs are archived right there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them and onto whatever device you have that'll allow you to listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. So again, welcome back, brother.
Thank you.
You know, it's the last day, so I want to make sure, I give you an opportunity to say, what's most in your heart about what moved you? You're the one who initiated with me this idea,
right?
Which I think is great because the Lord put this on your heart. What do you most want to say to our listeners?
Yeah, this started with me praying and thinking of, you know, I really need to write down some thoughts about this. We've joked about this. I said, you know, I know a lot of things, but I know sin. Yeah. And I said, all right, Lord, I know sin, so what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
And the point was, what should I say to people? And I really felt the Lord saying to me, tell the people, enough. Enough. It's time. It's time to let go. It's time to let go of this burden. You've been carrying it. You think you're alone. You're out there. You're not alone. But you've been carrying it. It's time. It's enough. I'm here. There's grace. It's time to make a change in your life. A lot of people feel that there's nothing there. They're the only person that's possibly dealing with this. And how can they possibly handle the fallout of taking this, embracing it, taking it to the light, and doing the things necessary to use God's grace to be freed? What I'm here to say is I know what that feels like. I know the isolation. I know the sadness. I know the brokenness of being in that position. But I can only say that God's grace is greater than every single one of those things if you just say yes to Him and reach out to Him and say, Lord, enough. Help. Yeah. I need your help.
Well, that's such an important step to, and the key to that is to be able to know who He is,
yes.
Right? That Amen. He is mercy itself. For God so loved the world, for God so loved, He gave His only Son, that ever believed in Him would not die but have everlasting life. Jesus came to seek to save the lost.
Yes. Right?
And we can feel like I'm the only one who's like me. I'm the only one who's this bad. I'm the only one who's this screwed up.
Right.
And I go to church and I'm at church on Sunday and I look around and everybody look like really holy people and good people. And I'm such a schmo. What am I even doing here? And we put on masks and we hide. We're afraid to be transparent. We're afraid to be discovered. All those kinds of things are there. And you feel like a phony, and that drives you even further down all the enemy's strategy. And we actually project that onto God too.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like somehow, first of all, you said earlier in the week, when sometimes we fall into these serious sins, we say, I can't believe I did that. Okay? That's one thing that Jesus has never said about me or you.
Right.
Chuck, I can't believe you did that. Right?
Yeah, with me, it's just again.
No. I mean, because He knows what's in the human heart.
Absolutely.
He knows our frame, Scripture says. He knows our weakness. And He's coming not because we're all cleaned up and we're perfected and we've earned His presence. He comes to broken, sinful people. That's all that exists on the face of the earth. Right? And we're all in a continuum. And those who have moved farther down the road, it's God's grace that got them down farther down the road.
Amen.
It's not their self-perfection. That doesn't do it.
No.
It's God's grace and God's mercy.
Yeah. If it, you know, the trap, the lie you can't believe is you can't believe when the devil tells you your sin is too great. If you think your sin is too great, walk into a church, look up at a crucifix and say, I know that was tough, but it wasn't enough for this. Because it's just, you can't do that. When you embrace that cross, when you see the cross, it was enough. He doesn't have to do it again.
Yeah.
And there's no sin that you have committed, none, that is bigger than the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
But that's the lie. Yeah. And that will prevent you from seeking him.
I'm just thinking of the broader picture of what's happening in our society today, and the culture, and the craziness of our politics, and the division. It's sin. It's sin. Sin is at work. Mm-hmm. Sin is at work in human hearts, yes, just like it always is. And all kinds of people in power and influence and who are in front of the camera all the time, and the big, beautiful people are living exactly, some of them, the very thing you're talking about right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're wearing masks, and they're trapped, and they're too afraid to let go, right? Because they're constructing a life for themselves, and they've got idols that they're clinging to desperately,
absolutely,
right? Power, influence, fame, money, all. It's the human condition. It's reality. And to be able to have the kind of humility that you were describing earlier yesterday when you gave so much wisdom about how to go from here. But let's talk a minute about the environment of our parishes and how our parishes can become more effective communities of mercy and extensions of God's mercy.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think when you're in church, when you're going to Mass, you know, there's a sense you go in there and you sit in the same place and you do the same things. All Sister Ann Shields talks about this all the time.
Yeah.
And you do the same things. You see the same people. But is your heart open to brothers and sisters in that room or in the church with you that may be struggling? And they're there in a struggle. And is your prayer for them?
Yeah. There's a paralytic, a brother who feels like a paralytic,
right,
who's looking for
four
brothers
people
to bring
him
to
lower
him,
yeah, into the, yeah, confessional.
Yeah.
To take him, you know, to help, yeah, him. And maybe that's maybe that's what the Lord is asking you to be, as one of those brothers. But it's the openness of mercy. It's not the coddling of sin. It's not the acceptance of sin. It's acceptance of the sinner. And I think a lot of times, Peter, that's what we don't feel. We don't feel it's an environment where we could do that. As I've told you, you know, you're afraid, will people reject me? Will they ask me to leave the church? Like I say, I was worried about being blackballed from my men's group.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you say things like that, are people going to react to you like the sin,
yeah,
not the sinner,
yeah,
who needs mercy and who needs our compassion?
Yeah. I mean, if there's this thought just comes to my mind as we're talking here. If you're someone who's listening to the program, whether you're a man or a woman, or a young man, young woman, and this is right where you are right now, you're trapped, you're under it, you're deathly, you know something has to change and that you need help, but you're desperate, you're full of fear of what could result from it. I want you to think for a minute of one person in your parish, your community, a Christian brother or sister, a wise person that you know deep down, you know they're full of compassion and they're full of grace. And I want you to make a decision today to say, I'm going to seek that person out. And I'm going to sit down with them and I'm going to say, can I tell you the truth about what's going on in my life? Will,
yeah,
you help me? I want to get out of this. And of course, as Chuck was saying all week, that needs to lead to the confessional, that needs to lead to frequent sacraments and daily prayer and reading of scripture and service and mission, all that stuff. But first, the first step is, as Chuck was saying, hugging the cactus. And a way I think of hugging the cactus is not only seeing the truth about my life, but to sit down with somebody and take that risk. It's worth it. We're both saying we've both done this in our lives at different times. And it's really an important thing to be able to do because the enemy ties us into knots and keeps us isolated with all the crazy fears and all the projection of the disasters of what could happen if you really, right, open up and all the rejection, and it paralyzes us. And he wants to keep us paralyzed so he can just keep beating us into the ground and convince us that God doesn't love you, that you are not lovable, that freedom is not for you, it's for other people. He wants you to become a slave that ends up is despairing to the point that you actually give up. That's what he's ultimately after. And Jesus said, the devil, he told the apostles in John chapter 14, Chuck, where he's with them, it's the Last Supper discourse there, that,
right?
And he's getting close to the unfolding of Calvary. his passion. And the apostles still don't know exactly what's going on. And he looks at them in that little circle of brothers, and he says, I'm not going to be with you much longer. And I won't be able to speak with you much longer. And they're probably thinking, what? What do you mean? And he said, because the devil's coming after me. He said, but the devil has no hold on me.
Right.
He said, so when this all hits the fan, I'm in charge. I want you to know that. It's going to look like the enemy has victory, like he's had over every single human being that's ever lived,
right,
other than Jesus and Mary. That's it.
Right?
And Mary, because of the grace that Jesus gave her through the love and mercy of God the Father, right?
Amen.
And Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. And then he says to him, he goes, but this is what I want you to know. I do everything the Father commands because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. That's what this is all about.
Mm.
I'm going to Calvary in obedience to my Father. And that love is going to set you free. And so Jesus wants you, friend, no matter where you are, to come into that same reality. He wants to give you his reality where the devil can have no hold on you, literally no hold on you if you're in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Jesus, it's not there. But the devil wants to keep you there. And as long as you're alone and isolated in the dark, he keeps you enslaved. So step out, come into the light, find somebody you can trust, a wise person, and pour your heart out. Get everything out on the table and then pray with that person. And then let the Lord lead you step by step after
right.
that.
You know? Even ask them, if you're afraid, I won't go to confession, ask them to take you.
Yeah.
Because you see, you know, if I don't have accountability, I'll put it off another day, I'll do this. Ask that friend, would you take me to church? So yeah. I need to go to the sacrament of confession.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I need a friend. I need somebody.
Yes.
I need somebody to help. I have a choice to make. I can be Judas or I can be Peter.
What do you mean by that?
By Judas and Peter, both of them betrayed the Lord in a way. Peter denied him how many? Three times. Judas also, you know, betrayed him, as we all know. The difference is Judas despaired. His Judas's sin wasn't that he betrayed Jesus. His sin was he did not think Jesus' mercy was great enough to forgive him.
Hmm.
Peter wept bitterly, but he never, ever said or uttered or acted as if he would be forgiven. He trusted in the mercy of Jesus, trusted in his words. That's what separated the two people. And what I think you're called today is to be Peter. If you have to weep, weep. If you have to have resolve, but I guarantee you, you'll meet Jesus on the shore. And he'll be serving you breakfast shortly.
Yeah.
Because he's going to allow you to be able to hug that and to bring it out with him and say, yes, you love me more than these. You know I love you, Lord.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's well put. I was thinking just in this last minute here of our good friend St. Francis of Assisi, and maybe the greatest or one of the greatest saints of all time, you know, in terms of holiness and commitment to Christ. But people confess their sins to him all the time. I mean, he wasn't a priest to hear the confession, but people would just be transparent.
Right.
And he was so accessible. And here's a brother who wept for his own sins a lot.
Right.
And then he wept for the sins of others, because St. Bonaventure said that Francis knew the devil had laid hold of them and was trying to enslave them, which is why then Francis not only wept for their sins, but he fasted and prayed for them, and that's why he preached the gospel so much,
mm-hmm.
was to help get them into freedom. Chuck, I'm so glad you were able to be with us here this week. A lot of grace, a lot of wisdom, I think, through this program, and I'm sure people are going to be very blessed by it. So friends, embrace the mercy of this season and walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, because it's for you. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.